All right, Malachi chapter number 3. We're going to look at verse number 7. Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 7. If you find that, find another spot so I can get to it quickly here. Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 7. The Bible says, "Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, that they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." Let's pray. And we'll get into this morning. Father, we love you. Thank you for your love for us, Lord. Sometimes we don't understand everything, and sometimes you have a perfect plan, a better plan for us. And Lord, I pray that we would just yield to that. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning as we look at a few things from your word and just a few thoughts, God, that would challenge us maybe this week and in our lives just to be better for you. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. There is all kinds of things in this passage we could pull out of. Most people, you say, well, let's go to Malachi chapter 3, and they're automatically, oh no, it's the tithing chapter, all right? And it is a good tithing chapter, but the tithing in the Bible is not just limited to Malachi chapter 3. And honestly, I'm not really going to hit tithing here, okay? I'm going to hit it briefly because it is here. But I think there are some other principles here that we just kind of blow by because we, you know, automatically this is the tithing chapter. So we kind of just blow by these principles. And I want to hit some of those highlights, and I'll let preacher do the tithing thing. So, if you will, let's look at verse number, there's three questions here that I really want you to we're going to look at this morning. And then we're going to look at verse 16 through 18 if we have time. That's kind of my extra if we've got a little time. If not, we'll look at it next week. But in verse number 1, let's read that again. "Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." And here's the first question. "But ye said, wherein shall we return?" Wherein shall we return? And then look at verse number 8. "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me." I'm sorry, it's not verse number. Yes, verse number 8. "Wherein will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" That's question number 2. Wherein have we robbed thee? And then question number 3, if you'll go over to verse number 13. The Bible says, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee?" So those are the three questions I want to look at this morning. And we're going to just go through these as quickly, and I won't spend a lot of time on any one of them. But we're going to go through all three of these this morning. I want you to really engage your mind. I know it's Sunday morning. You know, you're sitting, and it's tired. And so, believe me, I don't like sitting on Sunday. In fact, when I left children's church, like Sunday morning, that was my, like, man, I loved doing children's church on Sunday morning. Because if I sit in the morning service, it's like, but if I'm up and doing something, it's not so bad. So I kind of missed that part of it, but... So question number 1 in verse number 7. "Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? You know, this is a traditional cop-out answer as far as what most people do. Well, you know, somebody comes up to you and says, you're doing this wrong. And you know, we always want to defend ourselves. And that's what the Israelites are doing here. They're defending, well, wherein have we, you know, wherein shall we return? God, well, what's wrong? What have we done? Well, obviously, they know what they've done. You know, it's kind of a children's answer. You know, well, I didn't know, or what have I done wrong? You know, when they really know what they've done wrong, they just want to play like they're ignorant. But this really doesn't work, okay? And that's what the children of Israel are doing here. And as Christians, if God convicts us, a lot of times we try to justify ourselves, okay? So this would be more of a justifying answer. And the Bible says, wherein shall we return? So I'm going to pull just a few things out of here. You know, most of you are senior saints or have been Christians for quite a while. And, you know, sometimes as Christians we go, and there's, you know, more by far probably than I do. But what we sometimes forget is we used to do something for God. Have you stopped doing it? That's true in my life. Has there ever been a time I can look at my life? In fact, last night when I was looking over this, I was thinking, you know, there's things that I used to do that I don't do anymore. It's not because I can't. It's just I've left off doing those things. And, you know, God kind of spoke to my heart last night. He's like, wherein, and it's like, well, God, wherein can, and then God said, here, 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 and here. So if you're going to ask God a question, don't be afraid to get an answer. All right? Don't be afraid to get an answer. Wherein shall we return? The Bible says that his fathers have left the ordinances and have not kept them. And then we see some things later on that they need to return to. But let me challenge you. Return to your walk with God. Did you used to walk with God, or did you used to read so much in the Bible, or did you used to pray a certain amount of time, and you've kind of left off on that? You know, New Year's is a great time to start that again, and to get back on a schedule in that. And have you left off? Wherein have we left thee? Wherein shall we return unto thee? Well, what about your walk with God? Is it what it used to be? What about your soul winning? I'm just jotted a few things down last night. Did you used to go soul winning and you have no influence on anybody anymore as far as winning them for Christ? If not, go back to that. You know what the Bible says? Look at verse number 7 again. Return unto me, and what does God say? And I will return unto you. You know, I was kind of thinking, you know, sometimes we want to know why we don't seem like we have any power of God in our lives. Well, maybe we need to return back to God. And God's power will return back to us. So just a few things there. Wherein shall we return? Wherein shall we return? So return in your walk with God. Maybe it's soul winning. Maybe it's, you know, being a blessing to the church. Maybe it's, I don't know. This is a question that you can ask God. Wherein shall we return? Ask God that. And I think God will show you, wherein shall you return? So number two. And then, Bob, this is God talking, verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, here's a question number 2, wherein have we robbed thee? So, God gives him an answer. Here's a way you've robbed me in your tithes and offerings. Okay, so here's question number 2. Wherein have we robbed thee? Maybe we've robbed God in the things that we have kept. The things that we have kept. Now, I want you to think about that. Is there something that God has asked me for or you for that we've decided to keep for ourselves? God asks, I'm not just talking about tithes here, I'm talking about tithes, offerings. If God asks you to give something, have you kept that for yourself? If you have, you've robbed God. That's what the Bible says, okay? So if you've kept something, listen, this could be your life. If you've kept your life and what, you know, what God wants you to do with your life, or what God wants, if there's something that God wants me to do with my life, and I say, well, I'm comfortable here, I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to serve God here, when God really wants me to go someplace else, you know what I'm doing? I'm robbing God. It's not just tithes and offerings. Okay, you remember what the offerings were? Offering was a sacrifice in these times. Offering was something that was very dear to these people. What's dear to you? Is it your children? Well, I want God to bless my family, but I don't want my children to go anywhere. I don't want God to use my kids anywhere else. They just need to stay here. Well, that's fine if that's what God wants for them. You know, I want to be to the place, and you know, I'm not to that place. So it's like preacher says, don't cast stones until you're there. You know, my kids are little. But I don't want to be to the place that if God calls my kids someplace else, that I'm going to try to circumvent that and keep them here. Because you know what I'm doing? I'm robbing God. I'm robbing God. So I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. So it's not just the tithes and offerings. It is anything that God has asked of us that we have kept. It could be money. And if a tithe is 10%, you say, well, that's an awful lot. Well, we'll see here in a little bit. That's not very much if you don't give that. God has a way of getting his 10% plus interest. Okay? And we'll look at that in just a moment. So don't hold back things from God. If God asks, if God lays on your heart, and it's weird, I don't know. It's kind of different. You say, well, what does it feel like when God lays something on your heart? I bet it's different for everybody. But I think you'll know it when God lays something on your heart. So are you giving something to God or are you keeping that back? Well, I really need this money for something that I'm doing. And it's something good, God. It's, you know, it's the whole justifying. It's for something good. But God says, well, I want this. I want this. Are you keeping it back or are you giving it to God? If you're keeping it back, you're robbing God. Ye are cursed, verse number 9. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now I want you to notice that. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Look at verse number 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. You know, I don't think the whole nation of Israel, honestly, had given up tithing and given up everything. But you know who was cursed as a whole? The nation. And you know what? If you want to look at our nation and look at what is happening to our nation, and I'm not just saying, but look at our economy. Let's go to the economy part of our nation. Well, what's wrong with our economy? It's the government. It's this, it's that. No, I think a lot of it is that our nation as a whole have stopped tithing. Because God will curse the nation, even as we saw in verse 16, there are people in that nation that fear God. God will curse the nation as a whole. You know, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. There's drought on the just and the unjust. And God will curse a nation as a whole because, you know, is America a tithing nation? Absolutely not. Look at our churches. America's not a tithing nation. I mean, you go out to any world, look at a casino compared to a church. We are not a tithing nation. And I think God has cursed our nation as a result of that. The diseases in livestock, the diseases in agriculture, I think is a curse from God because we have not honored God as a nation with our tithes and our offerings. Now, I'm not saying Christians don't, but remember, it rains on the just and the unjust. It is a drought on the just and the unjust. And God says, well, but we'll see over here that God wrote a special book for those that feared God and those that thought often on his name. You know, yeah, we may suffer because of the wickedness, but in some part, as a Christian, that's my fault. The more people I win to Christ and the more people I can disciple and I can teach to tithe, that increases the ratio. Does that make sense? Of those that are tithing and those that are not. You know, because we have neglected Christ, neglected God as our nation, God's cursed us for that. And I really believe that. I think it's last time stuff, But I think it's also God's cursing us. We say, well, Brother Chad, how does God curse a nation? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. If you would go back in the history of the United States of America, there was times in the history of the United States of America that America was a very wealthy nation. And then we left God and said, well, we don't need God. And we need to keep our money for ourselves. And then God said, fine, I'll shut the windows of heaven up and you won't get the blessing. And this is one of the biggest things, verse number 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. All right, so the devourer. Brother Chad, what is a devourer? Well, I looked it up. There are 60-some references to devourer, something like that, in that context. There were several things that was a devourer. Fire was a devourer, okay? The sword was a devourer, and the enemies was a devourer. Those were some basic things. You think about those things. You know, when a nation comes in to conquer another nation and to wipe out, what did Hitler try to do with the Nazis? Devour them. You know what that means? Annihilate, take away. Just keeps eating and eating and eating. All right, a fire is the same way. You know, it just keeps eating and eating and eating. Okay, it's a devourer. All right, so honestly, I don't want a devourer in my life. Personally, I don't want a devourer in my life. You know what a devourer is? Okay, every penny that you make, it goes someplace. That's what a devourer is. Okay, and I'm not talking about someplace good. I'm talking about, okay, you know, you think, well, I've seen it over and over and over again. I don't make a ton of money, okay? I'm just being honest with you. I don't make a ton of money, all right? But I've seen guys, and businessmen in here, the guys that have business, you know this. Guys that make 20, 30 times what I would make, literally. And they don't have anything to their name. Do you know why? It's because of a devourer. I can't explain. I'm on the opposite side of the spectrum. I can't explain how that at the end of the month, sometimes I can pay my bills, but it always happens. They should easily be able to explain at the end of the month. Oh yeah, that's easy. But they can't. They have to ask for loan for everything. I mean, their hot water heater goes out, and I've seen it. Their hot water heater goes out, and they don't have the money. And guys that make, I'm talking six-figure numbers, they don't have money to replace their water heater. But you know what it is? It's the water heaters going out. That's a devourer. And you say, well, Brother Chad, if you just had a water heater go out, I'm just using that as an illustration. Oh, my goodness. People are like, oh, Brother Chad's preaching against my, you know. No. If you're tithing, and I think you'll understand what I'm talking about, but you know, it's the truck that, you know, my truck, I just, the last week, I was sitting in the parking lot. I don't think I told this one. I don't think I've been up here since then. Sitting in a parts store. Okay, I'm working on the church buses is what I'm doing. And I think, in a way, that was why God blessed me this way. Sitting in the parts store, walk out, and I look behind my truck, and under the pumpkin, the rear end of my truck, there's a puddle of oil. Well, I know not everybody knows a lot about vehicles, but that's not a good sign, okay? That's not a good sign. So I'm sitting at Napa, so I slide under the truck, and there's a hole I can stick my pinky through in my pumpkin of my truck. Well, that's not a cheap fix. That's not putting brakes on your vehicle, okay? That's not changing your oil type of fix. So I'm starting to, okay. So I was like, great. So I drove it. I drove it, didn't make a noise. I mean, I couldn't hear. I mean, it sounded like normal, which I can't hear much of my truck anyway, but sounded normal. Drove it home, and I got online, and I started looking. 1,100, 1,200, called a couple places, 1,500. I'm like, great, great. You know, it's not that I can't fix it, but that's $1,500 that, it's not that I don't have it, it's that's not what it's for. You know what I mean? That's not what it's for, okay? It's like, great. So I was like, well, maybe I can buy a used one. So I get online again, my friend, and I start looking. The only problem is this particular axle is used a lot in behind diesel engines. So most of them I'm finding they're wanting $600-$700 for, but they've got 200,000 to 300,000 miles on them. You know, I could put one of those in, and it goes out in a week, the same thing. I'm like, great. And most of them are, you know, 4 or 5 hours away. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, what do I do? You know, my truck, like I've preached before, my truck is my, that's my tool. I mean, if I don't have my truck, I'm done. I'm not going to put all my tools in my wife's vehicle. She'd not like that. All right? So I'm like, what do I do? And then the Lord just brought this thought to me. It's like, what about that truck you saw over at J&M? Switz City. I was like, I think that was a 3/4 ton pickup, but I think it had a V10 in it, which was not the diesel engine. So I called them. Yeah, we got the differential in it still. I was like, what do you want for it? He's like, $200. I'm like, okay, I'll come look at it. So I drove over there and looked at it. Now, it's not just as far as a year. You have to have your same gear ratio. I mean, there's a lot of things that could have been different on it. I called him, or I went over there and looked at it, popped the hood, same gear ratio. Same gear ratio. And you know what that is? That's a blessing from heaven. When it could have been a devourer. Did I have the money? Yeah. I could have done it. But that's something I didn't have to do because I think God said, here's a blessing for you. You know, Switz City, it could have been Illinois. Because literally, I called, if you call the junkyards, like Southwest up in Terre Haute, they have a database of parts where they'll pull parts from all over the country, literally. I called them, they didn't have anything. They don't have them. And Switz City had one. Go figure, you know? You know what that is? That's a blessing. Or it could have been, you know, I honestly believe this, if I didn't pay my tithes and I was back on my tithes, you know what God said? Well, here, I'll get my money back one way or another. It could have, and I would not have been able to find anything, $1,500, easy. And it drives great. Don't have the limited slip, which I don't really like, but it's all right. Lock it in four-wheel drive, it's okay. But you know what that is? That's a blessing. So you can either live your life with a blessing from God, or you can live your life with a devourer constantly. Every time you turn around, it's taking something from you. Every time. Now, that's something you have to choose to do. I have to choose to do. But if God asks me for something, you know what I want to do? If God asks me for $1,000, you know, I remember I said it could have cost me $1,200. Well, maybe God's got something he wants me to do with that $1,000 that he saved me. But if I'm not willing to do that, tomorrow I might have my trainee go out. That's the way God works. Okay? And that's why America is however many, I don't know, I don't even know what the number is now. It's past trillion, I think, but I don't know what the number is now. In debt is because we've robbed God. So don't rob God. Don't rob God. So don't, make sure you give God the things that he asked for. Give God the things he's asked for. All right, last question. What have we spoken so much against thee? What have we spoken so much against thee? Let's look at verse number 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. This is what they're saying. Ye, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? You know what? We hear that a lot in Christianity today. Why are you doing that? Why are you serving God? Why do you hear this? I hear this from my accountant. Why did you give that much to the church? You guys hear that too. What are you doing? That's more than 10%. It is. I'm just saying. That's more than 10% of your income. That's a large chunk of your income. What are you doing? You know what they're saying? It's vain to serve God. You know what vain is? Empty. It's empty to serve God. It's empty. It's vain. The world says that all the time. When I was in college, my two managers, what are you doing, Chad? What are you doing here? Why are you working at Sears Automotive Center and going to Bible college? I actually had one of them try to, they told me, he's like, I can make you one phone call and I can get you in UK playing football. And I don't know really where he got the idea I could play football for a college, but he's like, I'll get you in scholarship, play football. He's like, you don't need to be doing this. You know what they're saying? It's empty. It's vain. All right? That's what they're saying. Guys at work, they'll tell you that. Why do you go out every Saturday or Friday? Why do you go spend 3 or 4 hours visiting? Those people don't care about you. Those people aren't ever going to do anything. You know what they're telling you? It's vain to serve God. Those are the words that we say. Young people, and be an encouragement to our young people. You know, it's hard for our young people because they get pressure from other kids all the time. It says, why are you doing that? Why do you go to the Christian school? The bus kids, why do you go to church on Sunday? You can do all kinds of stuff on Sunday. You don't have to go to church. You know what they're saying? It's vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? You know what the world's constantly looking for? Profit. And then look at our economy. Oh yeah, they're profiting well. But they're always looking, well, is there any money in this? Is there anything that's going to... No. The Christian life is basically a life of giving. Okay? There's no money in it. All right? So, and you're like, Brother Chad, this is not sounding encouraging to be a Christian. All right? And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. And now we call, and here's the mind change here. Think about this. Because they tell us that it's vain to serve God and there's no profit in keeping God's commandments, all right? Now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work up wickedness are set up. Yea, that they that tempt God are even delivered. And we look at the world and we think, well, look at them. Look how blessed they are. They're not blessed. They're not blessed. They're miserable. That's what they are. They're miserable. And honestly, the devourer is consuming them. The devourer is consuming them. But here's some encouragement. Verse number 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Here's a little bit of encouragement. We don't understand everything that happens in this world. We don't understand why things happen. And sometimes it seems like the devourer, as Christians, it's like, man, the devourer is eating us too. Remember, our nation, I believe, as a whole is cursed. And we, to some degree, fall under that curse. It's always interesting. I don't know. Maybe there's some place in the Bible that it talks about it. You think about the children of Israel in Egypt. Now, I don't know, but I think the children of Israel in Egypt didn't experience all the plagues. I know that for sure. But I think the children of Israel, they're in the land of Goshen. which is a suburb of Egypt. Do you think the children of Israel were very happy when all the plagues started coming? I don't know what all happened to the children of Israel, but I don't think everything that happened in Egypt, the children of Israel just stood like they were in a bubble. I think they had to go through some of what they went through. And if not, do you remember what happened? They had to go find their own straw. Their burdens were increased tremendously right before God delivered them. Folks, that's kind of where we're at as Christians. We're going to kind of, God's judging, and whether you, I don't think God has tremendously judged America yet, but God has sent some curses to America. And we are enduring that. But you know what God has? God's eye's on the sparrow. God knows the number of hairs on our head, although mine are getting smaller and smaller. You don't have to keep as much count. But God knows, and God's eye is on those that fear him and that think upon his name. And God's wrote a book of remembrance for us. In verse number 18, then shall ye return. We're coming back with Jesus one day after all this is over, and you'll be glad that you served God. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. Even though, like I said, sometimes we don't always understand what's going on or what happens, or it's like, oh my goodness, America. And just remember, God's still on the throne. God still loves his children. But God also won't hold them countless. Remember what the Bible says? He won't hold them countless that taketh his name in vain. Or guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So God wants us to not only serve him still, even though things may be going bad, but he also wants us to not rob him, and he wants us to return to the things that he's commanded us to do. So those three things. Wherein shall we return? Ask yourself that question. Wherein have we robbed thee? Ask yourself that question. And what have we spoken so much against thee? Have you gone in the way of others and disvalued the Christian life? That's what this question basically is asking. Have we spoken against Christ and against the Christian way of living? So those three questions. Wherein shall we return? Wherein have we robbed thee? And what have we spoken so much against thee?